Good morning, Cornerstone Church. If you're new here, if you're a regular member and attender, I'd like to extend an invitation to all of you to come out to Sarah and my new house and March 22nd. Friday, March 22nd. That shouldn't have been that hard. Friday, March 22nd. We're having a game night. And what we do is we bring all sorts of board games, Settlers of Catan, Ticket to Ride, Rook. And we play games the whole evening, and we usually have a great turnout, and we always have a great time. So if you're available March 22nd, we'd love to have you out. And Sarah and I are so excited to be here in the community. We've been living there for a little over 2 weeks now, and it's just great to be here. And it's great to have a place where we can invite you all over to. And so we're really looking forward to it. And we bought a foreclosed home, so there's been a lot of work that's needed to be done. And appliances needed to be put in. There's a lot of leaks that needed to be fixed. A lot of issues. In fact, it's required work day and night. And frankly, I'm just exhausted. I'm exhausted from watching my dad do all of that work. Thanks, Dad. But it's just great to be here, and we're happy, and we're looking forward to game night. And one of the things that I loved about this church when I visited and in my candidating process was we had a game night, and Sarah and I came, and we were just amazed at the turnout, and we were amazed how anyone and everyone just came and was invited and was welcomed in and had a great time playing games. And as a church, that's really important because we want people to connect with God, and we also want people to connect with each other. And for that to happen, we need invitations, we need to be welcoming people, and I think this church has done a great job at that, and we're excited to be a part of it. And it's really important because so many people in our world today just get left behind, and they're isolated, and they get left out. And so the invitations and the welcoming presence is so important because it's so needed. When I was in college, I had a roommate who was kind of struggling to fit in. And I'd come back from class, and he'd just be sitting in the dorm room, and he'd be playing video games and watching TV, and he never went anywhere. And I realized he's becoming isolated and being left behind. And so I started inviting him places, and I'm like, hey, Steve, why don't you come out with us tonight? And so I started bringing him to the places that I was invited to and the gatherings that I'd go to. And we'd show up, and there'd be, you know, a circle of people talking and telling jokes and stories. And everybody would be having fun, and then it would come time for Steve to tell a story. And Steve told these long stories which had no point and were not entertaining or informative. And pretty soon, he'd just talk and talk, and pretty soon people would excuse themselves and go to the other side of the room and join another conversation. And I was trying to be polite, trying to connect Steve with other people, and so I'd politely listen and try to, you know, to help him out. But pretty soon, everybody would excuse themselves from the conversation and go to another place in the room for another one. And I would be left there with Steve, that's me on the right there, politely listening, waiting for him to finish his story, and trying to help him connect with other people. And once he was done, then we'd go back and rejoin the group, and it'd all start all over again. We'd be laughing and having fun, telling jokes, and then Steve would start telling a story. And people start excusing themselves. And it wouldn't be long before it was just me and Steve again. We're just going around the room kind of chasing people. And it's really funny, but, you know, it was really hard because here I was trying to help Steve connect. And because he's becoming more and more isolated and left behind. And there's been plenty of times in this world where I've had that same experience like Steve was having right there. Times where I felt left behind and isolated and left out, like I'm not fitting in, like I'm not being invited. And that's a hard place to be. And in this world where there's just so much darkness, there are many people who are isolated and just left behind. It's kind of the nature of the world we live in. And it's the nature of the darkness, which is present. The goal of the darkness is to isolate us from each other and from our God. And through the influence of the darkness, we make selfish decisions and greedy decisions which result in broken relationships and isolation. And the darkness also affects us physically as well, as we are separated through illness and sickness and death from those we love. The goal of the darkness and the presence of evil in this world is isolation from each other and from God. And that's why it's so important to have that welcoming presence and to have that invitation extended. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 14. We're going to be talking about what our God is like, because in a world where with so much darkness and isolation, there are times where we can start to wonder about God's involvement in all of this? Do we have a God who's invitational? Do we have a God who loves us and who wants us? Or do we have a God who is fine with all of the division and isolation? Do we have a God who delights in division? We've been talking about how Jesus said there will be a division. And how does our God feel about dividedness and isolation? Do we really have a God who wants everyone to come to the party? And sometimes when we're going through isolation, division, we can feel separated from God himself. And we can wonder, is the kingdom of God really a place where I can belong? Is that a place for me? So we're going to read in Luke chapter 14, we're going to start talking about what our God is like. And while you're turning there, I'll have it on the screen as well if you don't have a Bible with you. And the background of this passage is Jesus has gone to dinner. God himself has come to earth, to the world, and he's gone to dinner with some very prideful people who think they're really important. And in verse 7, as Jesus watches these people come into the dinner, he notices that they're all clamoring for the places of honor at the table. They're all trying to be invited into a higher level of society. They all want to be more important. And so they're all clamoring for the places of honor, and Jesus watches this as these people fight for the places of honor at the table. In verse 12, he addresses the guy who throws the dinner as all these prideful people think they're important at this dinner. He says to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." And so here Jesus is at a dinner where all of these people who are prideful and think they're really important have been invited. And Jesus turns to the guy who's throwing the dinner and tells him how he should have done it. He says, when you give a dinner, stop focusing on the important people, the people who are going places and can doing just fine on their own, your relatives, your rich neighbors. Stop focusing on the people that are going to get you somewhere. Instead, turn around and focus on others who need an invitation. Instead of the prideful people who think they're important, focus on the humble people who need to be invited. He says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And he says, you won't be repaid in this world because they have nothing to repay you with. But Jesus says there's a payment coming. It won't be ignored. God himself is going to see that, and God is going to repay you. He says you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So the resurrection is when Jesus returns, and when Jesus once again shows his power over death and over darkness. Death is the final tool of the enemy, the final tool of darkness to separate us from each other. It's the end result of all of the tools of the darkness and of the enemy. War and anger, poverty, violence, all of those things, illness, sickness, accidents, war, all those end in death. And the resurrection is when Jesus is going to return, he's going to show his power over that. He rose from the dead and he's going to come back, and there's going to be a resurrection of all who believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, at this point, at this time, you'll be repaid. If you're the kind of person who invites those who need an invitation, who can't repay you, you will be repaid, and it'll be at this time, at the resurrection of the just. And Jesus began to defeat the darkness when he came on earth, but at the resurrection, it's when the darkness will be completely removed, when evil will be completely removed, and all that will be left is the kingdom of God. All that will be left is God's kingdom, and God will reign. That's at the resurrection of the just. And so Jesus says, stop focusing on the people who are going to take you places, the people who think they're important and prideful, and turn around and focus on those behind you, those humble people, who need an invitation, who are being left behind. And this is something that I've seen done really well at times, and it's something that I've done well at times. And other times, it's something that I've not done well at all. In the last 3 years, I was living in an apartment building while I was going to seminary. And when we moved in, we wanted to make some relationships. We wanted to make some friends. And so we started looking for people, you know, who were like us, who were young and happy, who were going fun places. And I started to talk to them and invite them to places. And of course, they're busy. And so it took a while to establish relationships. And, you know, a few months would go by and a few more months. And And as the relationship would start to grow, these people were going places. They'd have something else come along, and they'd move out. People would get a better job, and they'd go move out and buy a house. Or these people who are, you know, fun and happy and going places, you know, they'd meet somebody, and they'd fall in love and get married and move out. And so these relationships that I would build, would they'd last for 2 or 4 or 6 months, maybe a year, and then they'd move out, right, as the relationships were really getting strong. And so I went through my 3 years with a kind of an interesting time where I didn't really have the opportunity to form the deep relationships I was looking for, because I was looking to make those relationships with people who were already really busy, already going places. And so it came time to move out of our apartment, and I needed a vacuum cleaner because we moved all our furniture out. There was dust and dirt all over the carpets, and we wanted to get our security deposit back. So I needed a vacuum cleaner, and I went to the people who I still knew who lived in the building, and I knocked on their doors, and you know, they were happy and fun and going places, and so nobody was home. I needed a vacuum cleaner. We were busy. We didn't want to have to make a second trip. And so I went a little further out of my comfort zone to some of the more humble people who I hadn't paid much attention to over the last 3 years. And I knocked on the door of a 79-year-old lady who really hadn't left the apartment building much in the 3 years that I'd been there. And I knocked on her door, and she was so excited to see me. We'd had a few conversations in the hall throughout the years. She's just so excited to have a visitor. And she opened the door and invited me in, and she sat me down. She told me all about her life. And I could see how happy and excited she was to have somebody come and pay attention to her and visit. And I couldn't bring myself to say that I'd come to ask her for a favor. And that's why I'd come. And so I just let it be a visit. And I left the apartment after a while and excused myself. And she was just so happy, so excited that somebody came to visit her. And I left, and I still needed a vacuum cleaner. And so I went to another person who was I had not paid too much attention to. He was kind of frightening. He was clearly a war veteran and dressed a lot in black. And it was just kind of intimidating. He's an older guy. So I knocked on his door. And I hear from behind the door, "Who is it?" And I said, "Oh, it's Jeremy from down the hall. You see me coming in and out. If you'd open the door, you'd know me, who I am, I'm sure, because we've seen each other." And so he opens the door. He goes, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And he's so excited. You can just see on his face and his voice, he's so excited to have somebody come and visit him and say hello. And I knew why he couldn't see me through the little peephole, because when he opened his door, his apartment was just filled, floor to ceiling, wall to wall, with stuff. He was a collector. Everything. And as soon as he saw me, as soon as he opened the door, he knew who he was, and he was so excited, so happy to have somebody come visit him, and he invited me into that place, even though there was barely enough room to turn around. He started telling me all about his life, where he'd been, what he'd done, where he'd worked. And he was so excited. He showed me around his apartment, even though we had to squeeze through stacks and rows of stuff. He showed me his apartment. We got to the bedroom, and he showed me his wall of heavy artillery and assault weapons and ammunition. And I saw a shop vac there, and I said, "Hey, can I borrow that shop vac? Actually, I need to vacuum my bedroom." And he said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead and take it." And he goes, if you bring it back now, that's great. If not, that's wonderful." And he invited me back. He says, "If you ever, you know, come back, let's go out for a soda or something, or a pop." And he was just so excited and so happy. And I left that apartment, and I went out in the hall, and I went back to my apartment, and I was just shaking. I was just shaking. It wasn't just because of the amount of heavy artillery and explosives and ammunition, which were being stored so close to where I'd lived for the past 3 years. But I was shaking at how many lonely people were in need of an invitation, just feet from where I lived, just down the hall. And I was focused on having a good time and making friends. And I was focusing on people who are busy and important and going places. And I realized I was ignoring the people who Jesus would have had me to invite. And I missed out on an opportunity to invite people like God invites people. And if we've been talking about the harvest, and Jesus has mentioned this concept of a harvest a few times. Last week, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And if we want a harvest, this is where we need to start. We need to start with the people who need an invitation. The problem is not that the harvest is small, it's that we just need more people to send out invites and to go to those who need an invitation. And so there's this guy at the dinner who hears Jesus talking about all this stuff. And he's impressed. Continuing reading in verse 15. It says, one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things. He said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And the resurrection of the just is when all that's left will be the kingdom of God, when Jesus removes the presence of evil. And this guy's impressed with what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if this is how God invites people, if God, our God, is a type of God where no one is left behind, where everyone's invited, well, then this is pretty special. And he's listening to Jesus talk about these things, and he says, if that's the case, well, then blessed is the guy who gets to be in that kingdom in the future. When that happens, when that person will eat bread in the kingdom of God, that's wonderful. Blessed is that guy. And Jesus responds to him in verse 16. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. And so Jesus is at a dinner. And he's already told the guy who threw the dinner how he should have had it. Now he's going to tell a story about how God would have had it. He tells the guy a parable. He responds with a parable. And a parable is a story which illustrates a truth about reality. And we're talking about the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is illustrating a truth about God's kingdom and who God is like, because God is the one who invites people to his kingdom. And so the man who gave a great banquet, this is God. This teaches us something about him. The first thing Jesus says to the guy, instead of will, he says now. The guy said, blessed is the guy who will eat bread in that kingdom. And Jesus says, come, for everything is now ready. And as we've been reading the book of Luke, we've been finding out how Jesus is God come to earth. Jesus is God himself come to earth to defeat the darkness, to defeat the presence of evil, to begin removing it. And Jesus says, come, for everything is now ready. We don't have to wait. God has come now. The kingdom of God is ready now. At the resurrection of the just, Jesus is going to remove the presence of evil completely. And all that will be left is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom is ready now. And we don't have to wait to start living this way. We can experience God's kingdom on earth. And we invite people, like the man at the great banquet, we'll experience God's kingdom on earth. And Jesus says, come, for everything is now ready. Jesus continues on and says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And so the master has invited all these people who are important. They're going places. They've got things going on. They're buying stuff. They're growing their businesses. They're falling in love. They're getting married. They're going places. They're doing things. And they're ignoring the invitation of the master. They're ignoring the invitation of God himself. God's blessings have become more important to them. And they're missing out on the kingdom of God. They're missing out on this great banquet because other things are more important. There's nothing wrong with going places and doing things. There's nothing wrong with growing businesses and falling in love and getting married. Those are all blessings from God and they're good. But we need to remember who has given us those blessings and keep God as the most important thing in our life. When God invites us, we need to be ready to follow. And for these people, they've missed out because other things have become more important. And so the servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there's room. And so God's invitation extends beyond those who are important and having fun and going places, who got things going on. God's invitation extends to those that the world forgets about. It extends to those that are being left behind. To the people that are left behind in this dark world, it extends to the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame, the humble people who need an invitation, who are being isolated. And God invites everybody. His invitation doesn't stop at the people who are cool, who can provide something, who can repay. It goes to those who even have nothing to offer. And it brings in those people who are isolated by the darkness of this world. And when God came to earth, he taught us how to walk in the light. And he taught us how to join in with him as he defeats the darkness. And the way that we can walk in the light is to invite like God invites. And here God's invitation is extended to those that are being isolated and left behind. And our invitation should extend that way as well. We need to invite like God invites. As here, the invitation has gone out. And still there is room. Even after God has extended his invitation to the important people and those being left behind, there's still room. So verse 23 says, "And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste of my banquet.'" And so he's like, hey, there's still room. Just go out and find anybody. Go to the streets and find anybody who's standing around, anybody you see, anybody who's there. Bring them back into my house. Bring them this great banquet that I'm offering. Just anybody and everybody, because my house will be filled. We've been talking about this concept of the harvest. We find that God invites all people, everyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone has been invited by God. God invites all people to his harvest. There's not a single person who doesn't belong in God's kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're going places. It doesn't matter if you're humble. It doesn't matter if you have something to offer. Everyone is invited. God wants everyone. And there's going to be a great harvest. The master says, my house may be filled. His house is going to be filled with people who respond to this invitation. And we know that not everyone is going to respond. Jesus has been teaching us that. Jesus has been teaching us that some people will choose the darkness over him. And not everybody's going to come to this great banquet. And we know that. And Jesus even tells us that again in verse 24. He talks about those who other things have become more important to them than the banquet. He says, none of those who are invited, he's talking about the initial ones, shall taste of my banquet. So we know that not everybody's going to respond and accept this invitation. We start to think that God's house is going to look a little bit like this. We start to think that the harvest is small. But God tells us that the harvest is great. It's going to be like that. And the problem isn't that the harvest is like this. The problem is that we just need to send out more invites, because his house will be filled. It says, go out to the highways, hedges. Just compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. And are you missing out on God's kingdom? Have you filled your calendar and your time and your heart with important things? Have you taken the time to respond to God's invitation? Does God feel distant? And have you taken the time to turn around and invite those who are being left out and left behind? Are you ignoring the ones that Jesus would have us invite? Or are you turning around like God has told us to and extending the invitation to those who are being left behind, those in need? We need to invite all people. As a church, let's just invite everybody. Let's invite them whether they're going places or whether they're being left behind. When I was a student at St. John's, we started this Bible study. It was just awesome. It was a great Bible study. And the pastor renovation down the road, and I would switch off teaching at it every Wednesday. And it was great, not because we worked so hard on the teaching, which we did. We worked really hard. But the Bible study was really special because we had this guy named Paul. And Paul just invited everybody. He invited people like God invites people. It didn't matter if you were going places, if you were cool, or if you had nothing to offer. He just invited everybody, and people came. And they heard the gospel preached, and their hearts were changed. And I like to think that the teaching had something to do with it, for sure, but I think the most important thing was that Paul was just modeling what God was like to people. And so they could see that, and they could relate to that. That was more powerful than any sermon, than any teaching. And so people came, and just by the dozens, by the hundreds, and their hearts were changed. Because they heard the gospel, and they saw it being lived out. They saw Paul inviting people like God invited people. And I think as a church, that we can do the same thing. And if you know anybody who wants to come to game night, maybe they don't come to church, feel free to invite them March 22nd. We're going to start at 7 p.m. Just invite anybody. We bought the biggest house we could find. And we did that for a reason. We want to be able to invite people like God invites people. And if you're new here, if you haven't heard the words of Jesus Christ before, if you think there's some wisdom in inviting people like God invites people in comparison to the way that the darkness leaves people left out and left behind, we just want to invite you to join us in following Jesus Christ and join us in removing some of the darkness from this world by inviting people like God invites people. And we invite you to come and join us. We need to talk about what it looks like to accept this invitation. We're going to look at, keep reading, we're going to look at Luke 15, chapter 1. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" They'd rather that these people weren't invited. The Pharisees and the scribes are prideful, and they'd rather these other people weren't invited. And Jesus tells them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' And just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." And we find out that our God is like a shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes out to find the one who's lost. That's how important that one sheep is. They're so important, he just leaves the 99 and goes out looking for that lost sheep to bring him back. We want people to connect with each other, and we want them to connect with us. But we really want people to connect with God too. And Jesus tells us how we can connect with this God who seeks us, who seeks to find us and bring us from the darkness into the light. And throughout the whole book of Luke, the topic has been coming back and back and back. It's of repentance. And Jesus says when the shepherd finds the sheep, something happens. He says in verse 7, he says what happens is that a sinner has repented. Because we don't want to be like the prideful people who Jesus is dining with. The prideful people who think they're above everyone else. We've all made decisions which have hurt ourselves, hurt others, and rebelled against God. We're all sinners. And Jesus says that to be found by the shepherd, the sheep repents. And so we want to invite people into our friendships, into our relationships, into our church. And we want to invite them into a relationship with God, invite them to repent and receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ wants us to have. The forgiveness that Jesus came to die so that we could have it. And that's what it means to respond to God's invitation. Because we need to admit that we've made those choices. To admit that we've fallen short. That we've hurt others, hurt ourselves, and that we've even rebelled against God. We've done things that we've known to be wrong, and even though we've known it, we've done them. We need to ask God for his forgiveness and receive Jesus Christ's forgiveness, which he wants us to have. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he came to teach us how to walk in the light. And that's just, in this case, it's just inviting everybody like God invites. And Jesus came to tell us how to connect with him as well. That's to repent. Repent of our sins and accept the forgiveness that Jesus Christ wants us to have. And every single lost soul is precious to God. Every single person. There's no one who he wants left behind. There's no one who he hasn't invited. And let's ask ourselves, has Jesus got mine? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your teaching through Jesus Christ. I thank you for coming to show us how to live a better way, how to live in the light in comparison to the dark world around us. God, I pray that you would give us the strength and the opportunity to invite people like you invite people. I pray that we go out and whoever is in need, whoever is being left behind, I pray we'd go find them. And that you'd guide us like the shepherd who looks for the sheep that's lost. God, I pray that you'd help us to go out and find those who need an invitation, who need friendship, who need to be included. And God, I pray that this church would be a place where you could find those lost sheep. Find those sheep that we've invited. God, I pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit here and lay on our hearts and convict our hearts. Help us to come to terms with our need for repentance. Help us to accept that. And help us to repent. God, I pray that we'd connect with each other and that we connect with you. And we'd give up the darkness in our hearts. We'd not defend the ways that we've hurt others, hurt ourselves, and rebelled, God, but that we just give that up and we repent of it and ask you to take that away. And ask you for your forgiveness, which you want us to have, which you came to give us. God, I pray that Cornerstone will just be a place where everyone and anyone is invited. A place where we connect with each other and where we connect with God. And I pray for this event on March 22nd for our game night, that you'd bless it, that you'd bring people to our minds who we can invite, who can invite into our friendship, into our presence, and into our relationships. And Lord, we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. And we pray for the gifts that we were about to receive. In your name, amen. At this time, if the ushers could come forward, we're going to take up our offering. If you're new here, please don't put anything in the basket except for that communication card. And our regular members and attenders provide for our needs. And as the baskets pass and after you put in your communication cards, feel free to stand and join us in worship.